Welcome to the New Earth Architectress, where we'll be exploring together what is an architectress, what is the New Earth, and how is the evolution in consciousness paving the way for your leading role in architecture. I'm your host, Aisha Rose Melody Hassan, and I'm so excited to share with you what's possible when you lead a prospering design practice aligned with spirit and your divine calling. If you're a woman architect or designer who's hearing a deep call to take your stand as an ancient temple builder of the future, welcome. Now is the time, and we are the ones. Welcome to the next episode of the New Earth Architectress podcast. I am excited to dive into the world of forms today. I am going to show you some of the projects that I've worked on over the years and the forms that have been birthing through me in the recent years. These are very special forms in architecture, forms for walls, forms for roofs, forms for windows, forms for all different kinds of buildings. And the forms have a specific language, and this language is meant to heal, meant to awaken, meant to activate, meant to form a vessel to transmit spirit and connect with the pulse of Mother Earth. They are forms that have been birthed through a unique co-creation with my clients, and some of them have been birthed through a unique co-creation with myself and the higher realms of creation. In the architecture world these days, we are inundated with thousands of images per day about what architecture can look like. And a lot of those images are generated via AI, and some of them are generated and created, innovated, produced by architects, designers, builders all across the globe. And these forms that we see can take all different shapes and sizes, right? Different colors, different styles, different compositions of architectural spaces, materials, structures, and they also speak a certain language. And it's very important for us spirit architects to be able to read the language of these forms. Some of them are intentional, some of them are not intentional on the part of the designer, and some of them, I would go as far as to say, are tools for mind control, and some of them are a repeat of old forms or an agglomeration, a potpourri of all different kinds of styles of architecture from various points in humanity's unfoldment, in humanity's history. So I'll give you an example. You know, I've seen some architecture where, whether it's AI generated or not, where they are, the architects are mixing traditional symbolism and forms, like let's say ancient Greek architecture, with a modern building, for example. And what the impulse of the sacred blueprint that has been birthing through me has been guiding me towards is really tuning into these new impulses of creation that are being illuminated, that are being activated on the planet right now, that are rising from the earth right now, and guiding humanity towards their highest unfoldment, towards their awakening, towards their freedom. Now, these impulses are not, and there are living beings, angelic beings that are guiding humanity through these creative impulses. And they're not saying that all architectural forms need to look a certain way, and that the new architecture of the new earth needs to look, have a certain style, right? This is something deeper. This is an impulse that we need as architects who are conscious, who are heart-centered, who are a voice for nature, who are committed and devoted to working with energetics, working with the spiritual realms, working with healing architecture. It's important that we are able to tap these frequencies, these new impulses. And not only do these new frequencies and new impulses guide us towards a healing, a thriving, light-filled future, but also on the more personal level, or rather, if we go focus on your own creative architecture practice, these impulses give you the juice, the substance for overflowing, endless creation. I mean, how many of you have been in creator's block, right? The design is just not flowing. And you tend to over-design or try to work things out to the point where you just keep on churning these drawings like a machine, spitting them out, right? 50, remember those days? I don't know if any of you are still doing hand drawing, but I still do. So I always still have my trace paper. I mean, most architects still love doing their own hand sketches. But, you know, trace paper after trace paper after trace paper, right? Layout after layout, option one, option two, option three, until you get to like option 50, right? And these creative impulses are guiding us, architects of the new earth, the priestesses of the new earth architecture, to tap these frequencies and tap our joy. Actually connecting to our joy, connecting to our feminine flow, connecting to our juiciness, our abundance, our bounty, our beauty, is actually the direct path to be able to transmit these new impulses in architecture with ease and flow. I recently birthed an incredible design for a dear client of mine. And I was so tapped in and tuned in to these new frequencies, these new energies, these beings that were supporting our co-creation, and tapped into my client's higher self, her true soul. As we were weaving this container together, I woke up super early in the morning. I was told to wake up super early in the morning and start meditating. And as I was meditating, I began to receive the transmissions for that specific blueprint. The design got birthed in 1 hour at 5 a.m. while my son and my husband were fast asleep upstairs. All was quiet around. Everything was still. The sun hadn't risen yet. And I transmitted the blueprint for that house project. And it all came together in that moment. And I was in deep for probably about 50 minutes. I was toning, light language was coming through, colors, tones, textures, the specific forms were being given to me. I was receiving direction. And this is all a result of guiding my client through the sacred blueprint system, which lays foundational groundwork for this blueprint to get birthed. And we're realizing, oh my God, this is like, it's like a child that we are now taking care of, this being, this baby together. And this being, which is the design of this new house, is informing us. We're able to connect with the being of this house. The being of this house is now communicating with us, telling us what it needs to grow, to flourish and to be manifested into an actual physical building. I mean, this is next level women. You know, in all of my years in the Sacred Blueprint, guiding my clients in the Sacred Blueprint, and previously before the birth of my signature system, yes, I was practicing geomancy. Yes, I was practicing land energetics. Yes, I was exploring organic architecture, anthroposophic architecture. But there was still moments, parts of the design process where I was overworking. I was over-serving, over-pleasing, over-accommodating, spending so many more hours in front of the computer or at the drawing table, or it could be, you know, working on a physical model, whatever the aspect of the or whatever stage of the design process it is, there was always too much work. And I was depleted. And the Sacred Blueprint has been guiding me and showing me, no, it does not have to be that hard. It does not need to take that long. But what is required is the willingness, the devotion, the capacity to surrender to the mystery of creation. The capacity to surrender to the feminine, to the dark, to the void. She is the mystery. She is the invisible realms. She is the subtle realms. And this is what the Sacred Blueprint is about. It's about bringing back these invisible realms into the architecture practice, bringing back the mystery of creation into the architecture practice. And in order for that to happen, women, I mean, all of you are likely seasoned in your spiritual and energetic growth. Some of you may be just beginning your journey in exploring spiritual wisdom and energy healing, meditation, yoga. But likely, if you're in this space, you are an architect who is either currently working as an employee at a firm, or perhaps you're working part-time, or you are running your own design practice, whether you are a landscape architect, interior architect. And you know what it's like. I mean, have any of you experienced the deadlines in university and sleeping under the studio tables for deadlines? I mean, I have to say I never did it, but I remember I never slept under the table, but I remember my first year of university, I got something called elephantitis. I didn't even know that was a thing. In my legs. My legs were all swollen and I couldn't walk very well because I stayed up all night drafting, standing up. So yes, I'm part of the old crew of architects who were doing hand drafting in their early years of education, architecture education. In the later years, we were working a little bit more with 3D modeling and ArchiCAD and AutoCAD. So, I mean, talk about overworking. The pressure that that we went through. Just let me get a sip of water here. The pressure we experienced, the contraction we experienced, and I experienced the same, and the impact that it had on our bodies. And this kind of programming continues on in the architecture practice. I was just at a cafe yesterday that I enjoy with my husband and his friends, and I took some time to do a little bit of work in the back of the cafe, and there was this woman who was so stressed, and she actually she said the word architecture a few times, so I don't know if she was an architect or working for architects on some kind of a project, systems project or something. In any case, I swear our energies were like night and day. We were sitting at this kind of group co-working table in the cafe. She was so stressed. you could see it in her body. She was so hypervigilant, and she was on this Zoom meeting with other team members, and she was just constantly trying to like catch gaps in, I don't know, some kind of a system flow. And she was just like interrupting them and like, no, we have to do it like this and we have to do it like that. She was so outside of her feminine, and her face, her body was so stressed. And every now and then she would just kind of get up and like, it's almost like she was going to like push all of us, like as she got up, and she would just get up and barely take one full breath. But you could see her body was really, really needing a full breath. And her mind wasn't allowing actually her body to take the full breath, but she would just kind of like pace back and forth. She'd be like, it looked like she was like frustrated with these people that she was in the meeting with, or maybe frustrated with a deadline, whatever. I didn't even want to get into it. I've actually thought about talking to her and asking her, you know, oh, are you an architect or something? But then I decided I am not going to enter into that energy. I was at yesterday and today, I mean, just the flow that's coming through the beginnings, the early spring energies are just so sweet, so beautiful right now. And the world is intense. The world is intense. And I was feeling the feels right before the full moon. It was a very heavy week for me. That's what happens when we're sensitive, right? That's what happens when we are tapped into the pulse of Mother Earth, tapped into the collective energies on the planet. And by me choosing not to have a conversation with her, I chose to make a delineation between my energy and her energy. And I chose to not merge with her. I chose to not attempt to heal her. I mean, I'm a healer. And there's a part of me that's, you know, wants to heal everyone, but that's not the solution. So going back to the picture of the architecture practice, you know, 90% of architecture practices out there are founded on this kind of programming of the deadline, founded on the overworking model. Some of them are changing, but most of them are operating under this system. And I personally think, you know, take or leave what I have to say, I personally think it's a slavery system. And the 5-day work week, and with architects, it can often be 6 days or days and nights. And this overworking to birth the design, as well as develop the details for the construction of the design. And the reason why, if we take a step back, that the architecture world is based on this old paradigm programming of go, 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 hustle, 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 overwork, compete, competition is part of that. It's an essential ingredient for that machine to operate. This hypervigilance, being a perfectionist, I am a recovering perfectionist. And also kind of like this, you got to do it alone. Now, of course, there were group projects in university. And we know that when there's a solid team in an architecture office, then, you know, you're already 500 steps ahead of so many other offices. You know, when you've got a beautiful dynamic, beautiful synergy between your team mates. But it's rare. It's rare because the associates often and the partners of the company often do not have the leadership skills to be able to create that kind of harmonious synergy between the team members. So the 5 days a week in front of the computer, I mean, the pain that does to people's bodies, their necks, their shoulders, their spines, their sit bones, hours and hours in front of the computer. Now, AI, okay, great. It can help us. Sure, maybe. It can maybe make certain processes more streamlined. You can make renders a lot faster. This is all great. But does anyone remember when email first came out? Everyone was saying life was going to get easier. You know, I had a friend who is now has also broke free from conventional architecture, but she said, she told me that there were times where she would get like 50 emails a day as a project manager in the architecture world. So it's like, I thought email was going to make our life easier. So going back to this incredible experience that I had birthing the vision for my client's home in 1 hour at 5 a.m. in deep meditation. I mean, the flow that came after was incredible. The one drawing, the one sketch, the one floor plan came out. The model came out over a series of 3-4 days. I work with plasticine models or clay models. The forms emerged. And all of that happened without the use of the computer. Yes, do I work with montages and renders, and do I explore 3D renderings and stuff? Absolutely. But the design is the design, right? Women, you get this. You get this. It's the essence. And when the essence is emanating with life force, when the essence is emanating with truth, when the essence of the design is so aligned with your client's soul and the energetics of the land, then there's no more resistance in the system. Things are flowing beautifully. It's like I'm seeing pathways with illuminated water, liquid running through these pathways with ease and flow, right? This old paradigm is the unhealthy masculine paradigm, isn't it? I mean, there's so much out there now that we're learning, deepening in regarding the divine masculine and the divine feminine. And we know that the big missing piece of the puzzle is the woman, is the mother, is the feminine energy. She's been repressed for so long. We can also, of course, dive into the aspects of the male that have been repressed as well. But I'm here as a model for what's possible for women architects when they unleash their intuitive powers, when they tap their creative life force, when they tap their feminine magic. And it's different than male magic. What's possible for architecture and the new earth when we do? Leadership changes, teams change, our way of marketing changes, our way of showing up in the world changes, and most importantly, because that is our joy to build beauty, the way we design architecture changes. I'm hearing the part of the testimonial from one of my dear clients, another client that I designed a sanctuary project for. And she said, when spirit endorses the project, it can't help but be, I don't think she used the word perfect, but it can't help but be aligned, or the endorsement of spirit was the part that I want to emphasize here. When we've got the nature spirits on our team, when we've got the angelic realm on our team, when we have our higher selves on the team, when we have the spirit of the land on the team, then it flows. I'm not saying that we can't run into challenges. Challenges are an aspect of living on earth as a human being that we need to go through. We cannot bypass challenges, but it's about how to navigate those challenges wisely, consciously, elegantly, efficiently, And the spirit of the priestess architect, the divine feminine, the world of energy, the world of the subtle realms, tapping into them, listening to them, tuning into them, being able to read them on people's properties, and be able to generate a design out of that is really supporting the challenges of getting a building permit, the challenges of putting together a solid building team for the project, the challenges of even getting to, like, let's rewind a little bit, the challenges of even birthing a design that, let's say, a couple, you know, partners are both aligned on. I've been in many, many projects where I've seen a lot of couples, partners argue, right, over the house design. And some of them, one of them in particular, they even actually had a divorce after the project got birthed, the design, because it was such a truth teller that in fact, they just needed to part ways. I'm going to share some of the projects that I've been working on in the last years. Just give me a moment to get my screen share up. So let me tune in here, take a sip of water. All right, this is a project that I birthed recently. This building does not have a property yet. So it's actually wanting to find property. This building is officially announced that it's looking for land. And normally, through the sacred blueprint process, we really do birth the designs through a co-creation with the physical property and a co-creation with our clients. But that said, I have been tuning into some beings, cosmic beings. They are part of my Council of Light, and they are very much interested in the creation of architecture and forms, and have been guiding me towards what that could look like. And so I've been exploring. Let's see, can I do a zoom in here? Yeah, I've been exploring 3D printing and what's possible now with the advancements in that technology. And yeah, I'll just give you a moment to look at it. For those of you who are listening to the podcast episode through the audio, I recommend that you hop over to my YouTube channel to watch this episode on video as I am sharing my projects right now. So this project is an expression of a beautiful marriage between the masculine and the feminine. The base of this project I envision as a very thick walls, likely hempcrete, could also be rammed earth, very heavy, grounded, providing the anchoring, the stability for a roof that is actually quite light, flowing. It's almost like an underwater creature, the structure of the roof above. And the waves and the undulating movements of the roof above, I see that either constructed in some kind of a cast glass or like a transparent ceramic almost. There's all kinds of advancements now with bioceramics. Of course, depending on where this building gets built, we need to look at the climate and, you know, ensure that there's not too much glass in the roof, depending on where you are located in the world. And another piece about that is that this is a temple building. This is a space to gather in sacred circle with community and make presentations and do the deep spiritual work, but also the deep play. And in order for that to happen, there's a need for a balance between the amount of openness to the outside and the amount of enclosure. If this was just a glass dome, it would not be providing the necessary containment needed for powerful spiritual transformational work to occur. We need the limits. We need the container. And we need the forms that are enlivening our souls, bringing them back to life again. There's so much I want to say about this building. And at the same time, I feel like there's only so much that can be said in words. The illuminated element at the top is some kind of a transmitter. It may be connected to also free energy. This is something that I've been receiving even before I heard about free energy. I started to have visions of buildings with a kind of spiritual fluid running through them. And so that thing on the top of the roof there is likely some kind of a emitter, transmitter, something related to the way energy is flowing through the building and feeding it. But also that the building also produces energy. That's the important part about the New Earth architecture, that the building, beyond solar panels, beyond, let's say, like a hydro water electricity generating thing, there's so many different kinds of systems out there. The building can also produce energy in some way, shape, or form. And you can see in the distance, there are some other homes or some other buildings that are homes as part of a wider community. And these homes also have the same quality as this main building, but are, let's say, a more earlier development of this final pièce de résistance, right? This final masterpiece. And this is an important part of the Sacred Blueprint teachings. I go into it in my online course for property owners and land stewards, the principles of metamorphosis and how important it's that we express those principles in the language of our architecture. So what do I mean by that? Like, when you look at the buildings in the distance, they're just these faint sketches you can see. They're almost like these like little seed buildings. And so they are the seed stage of the metamorphosis. Whereas when you look at this main building, that's the flower or the fruit, the final fruit stage of the cycle of nature of metamorphosis. And the cycle of nature and metamorphosis have very deep esoteric powers behind them as well. So they are literally beings working through this cycle, and they inform us, they help us grow properly, both spiritually and physically and soulfully. So there are other examples of projects like this where the metamorphosis concept has been expressed beautifully, and that one of them is in Sweden by an architect called Erik Asmussen. He's now passed away, and there it's a Rudolf Steiner community there where there's a beautiful concert hall and a guest center and office and library and music rooms and a beautiful hospital, and each building represents a certain stage in the grand metamorphosis. So I'll keep moving here through. I'm not going to go through all of my projects. I don't want to turn this into a PowerPoint presentation. This is another building that I transmitted recently. So these are the latest, really, that are like, Aisha, we need to get birthed on this planet. And so this is also an example of how metamorphosis can show up in one building itself. And this building, and this is really a conceptual sketch. So once I actually work the details out of this structure, it may look a little bit different than it does now. But these are the first kind of impulses that came through. in my mergings with the angelic realms that are governing the realms of architecture. When you look at the base of this building, it's sitting in a grounded manner on the earth. And there's a slight curve here. So let's get into the details together. There's a slight curve here which accentuates the downward force of I am here. I'm anchored. I'm here, but I'm not too static. I'm not dead. I'm not just like a box. And I'm not saying that boxes or cubes are not powerful. They can be if they're designed very well. Islamic architecture is one of the most incredible crafters or architects, builders who have birthed Islamic architecture have crafted stunning, stunning cubes. So, but we're at a different stage in humanity's unfoldment. And this is not about taste. And I know this building may look really weird to some of you. And some of you may be like, oh God, this is ugly or something like that. I have to admit that a part of me, when I first transmitted this building, I was like, oh my God, what the hell is that? The mystery of creation, really opening up. Are you ready? Are you ready to step beyond the bounds of what you even think is doable or trendy or beautiful even? Really step beyond and allow the forms that are being transmitted through you, like an oracle, to communicate with you. Be open. Interesting. What is this building trying to say to me and to the world? So, and you can see here, there are two column type forms here, but they're more merging with the building. I mean, some people may actually look at this, some architects may look at this and like, oh, it's kind of like parametric architecture, right? And it's not. So much parametric architecture out there is just dead, has no spiritual essence whatsoever. So, but there's a lot of people who are exploring new tectonics, new forms, fabricating with new materials and stretching the boundaries of what's possible, of how we can make buildings that are more organic. And I definitely value that research. I want to learn from it too. So let's take a moment to look at this building and look at the way the forms are growing up and turning into this flower structure at the top of the roof. So there's a downward moving force, lines that are moving down, anchoring down into the earth. The curves of the lines and the forms of the lower part of the building are moving down predominantly, but also lifting up in some parts to start to honor the sky and grow into the roof structure, where light is now starting to be let in through these kind of petal-like forms in the roof that are lifting up and then merging into creating this flower. The entrance is very much a door within a door within a door, and I see it as the human being, the forms of the front face of this building and the entrance, the threshold. And it's very much speaking to the human being that is awakening, ascending, and growing into taller beings. And so in my studies of anthroposophy and esoteric wisdom, you know, our next stage in the evolution of consciousness is to become angels. And angels now will turn into archai And then after they become archai, there are other stages of unfoldment for them. And we are on this track as well. And so, you know, these beings that are taller beings that some of you may have encountered in your dreams or in your meditations, or you're reading about them and you're watching YouTube interviews about them, whatever. They're different beings at different dimensions. In Egypt, we see these taller beings carved, right? Sculpted at the gateways of the ancient temples. And you can see there's a sketch of an actual human being, and the scale of that human being is quite small compared to the larger thresholds within a threshold within a threshold. I have to admit, there's a part of me that struggles a lot to communicate what is happening here with the forms of the architecture. And so I'm curious what you feel when you see this building. And I also enjoyed working with different colors and tones and playing with almost like a watercolor effect of the building and playing with, wow, what if this building was actually like these tones of turquoises and purples and blues and then it and pinks and just go crazy with the tones. Or maybe this building is actually all clay on the outside. And the inside is where all the color happens. This could be, and there could be a play of light. So there's so many possibilities with this building. And now with the advancements of 3D printing, wow, we can really start to play here. Because this would be quite complex if we were to form this all out of concrete. Now, the Goethe-Annum did get built by the anthroposophic community in Dornach. I don't remember the years that it was built. The second one, the first one was out of wood, and the second Goethe-Annum was built out of concrete. And holy, that's some pretty intense, incredible, amazing formwork. And it was done in the mid-1900s, early to mid-1900s. So, wow. You know, anything's possible, but with the cost of construction and labor, you know, it's becoming increasingly challenging to create beauty. And I think that personally, that's also another way the powers that were prevent us from living in beautiful buildings, to constantly bring upon these economic quote unquote, crises. And eradicate beautiful buildings from the planet through like great fires. And yeah, the importance of beauty is just, it's immeasurable. And I know that if you are listening to this podcast episode, you feel that deeply with your entire being, down to the bone, the importance of building beauty. This is a sketch for a project for an eco-village, and this building is more of an underground with a green roof and is very flowing with retaining walls and is a central gathering area with a meeting room and a library and a dining hall with receiving lots of light coming down from the top of the roof through this main, let's say like roof eye, whatever you want to call it there. And the architecture is very much a kind of land art type of architecture. And the columns are really expressing this feeling of support by fanning out above. So this is very just, they're not detailed. You can see not detailed sketches, just fanning out and supporting this roof that has this kind of a non-typical movement of growth and opening, dipping up and then dipping down to form different scales of thresholds that people can walk in and out of. And then there's, when we go back to the column, and they're fanning down as well, expressing and saying, I am well anchored on the earth. I'm well anchored. I'm well anchored, holding the roof up. You can count on me. This is what the column is saying. You can count on me. Look at the sketch of this person. This person, you can even feel the energy of this person. I think I put some steps here or something like that, and they're sitting on the steps, or they feel calm, even in the sketch, next to these columns that are saying, you can count on me. Not only can you count on me, you can play with me. You can dance around me. You can enjoy me. So much of the architecture that came out of the modernist movement, most of it was extremely dead, right? Stripping everything down to the bone, where it's just like these very minimal paper thin surfaces or super thin columns, or it's like columns are bad. It's even like columns were bad. I mean, I think about Mies van der Rohe or something, and I know he appreciated the pure structures and the minimal beauty that can arise from the purity of structure, but the amount of elimination and taking away of what they perceived were excessive frilly forms. Right, there's the Adolf Loos book, Ornament as Crime, or Ornament is Crime. I don't remember exactly the title. And that really paved the way for killing the beauty in architecture. Was there a certain amount of cleansing required? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't think that it's all bad what came out of the modernist movement. There were still some really amazing human-centric, kind of like rogue, like architects who went rogue, right? And couldn't be easily categorized under any kind of Bauhaus or modernist movement. But this is all just to say that the humanness, the soul, the expressive qualities of architecture were lost in Western, especially Western modernist movement. Oh my God, these buildings, they are wanting to get birth. This one, the ones that I'm showing you right now are visions, they're concepts, they don't have specific properties. And what I'm getting as a leader of the Sacred Blueprint movement and a leader of priestess architects is the key to building these is for us to gather and to come together and build the new earth sanctuaries together. Because when we gather together, the creative life force that will move through our co-creation will be amplified 1,000, 2,000, 10,000 times. And that amplification will be drawing in the ideal clients, the ideal projects, the ideal configurations to actually, and the ideal resources, the team, the builders, right, to build these visions. And my vision is to, well, I have many visions, but the main vision with the Sacred Blueprint is the certification program right now. And I am opening the doors, or rather I have opened the doors, and we begin June 2026. That's soon. And I am curating a select constellation of women architects, landscape architects, interior architects to join me in the Sacred Blueprint mission and enter into a powerful container. It's a 12-month container where I will be training you to birth your sacred blueprints, to birth sacred blueprints for your clients. If you are interested, send me an email. I will have also the link to sign up for the application and program details in the captions below, in the description section below, so you will be able to get them. yeah, this is another sketch here. I'm not going to go so deep into it, but it gives you an idea also of the way that I like to work with hand drawings and couple them with a little bit of photo montages and get the light and the movement with my sketches. I'm very much a stand for human architecture, human-made architecture, because humans have a power that AI and robots do not have. I can't believe I'm even saying this. I mean, it's hilarious, actually, that I'm even saying this. I'm not saying that AI doesn't have any kind of, like, everything physical, everything that we experience has a spiritual source. But the question is, what are the energetics behind it, right? Who's the being behind it? And in my opinion, AI is here to actually dumb us down and take away our creativity. But I also think there can be some ease and flow if we use the tool wisely. And, you know, I'm excited to train women architects, priestess architects, to not be dependent on the computer. Just like that, you know, what I shared earlier about how I transmitted these blueprints without the use of the computer, because there may be times that we face women in the future where we have digital shutdowns for a long period of time. Is that going to stop you from building the architecture that you want? Or you may be forced to abide by certain parameters or agendas or doctrines in order to be able to get access to certain things that are digital related. I don't want to get, you know, all weird, like paranoid or anything about, you know, what may happen in the future. This is just all about empowerment and being proud of being human, and also go deeper into discovering what that really means as an architect to be human. I think AI is also here as a gift. I see the card, the set and Horus card from the Anubis Oracle deck that I often use at my VIP retreats in Ephesus with women architects, by Nikki Scully. And I think she did it with Linda Star Wolf. And we're faced with the energy of AI. He's a teacher, and he's a teacher because he's showing us showing us ourselves more, actually. That's the ask, or that's the invitation. Dear human, look at yourself, know thyself. Do you really know who you are and the power and the magic that you hold? What is the difference between you and me? And there are going to be so many people that just get sucked into becoming machines. Listen to some of Greg Braden's recent interviews around this. I mean, they say by 2035 that there will be some people that, like a large portion of the population, will have some kind of a digital, mechanical, robotic implant in their bodies. Are you willing? Like if they say, oh no, you need this chip in your arm in order to create good architecture. Are you willing to take that chip into your arm or anywhere else in your body, in your brain, in the name of advancing quote unquote humanity? It's a question. Here's another one, another drawing. Oh my God, I mean, we need to build these together. this is actually next level for me too, women. When I say that, oh my God, we need to build these together. I used to not say that. I was the martyr. I was the one who was doing everything myself. I had so much weight on my shoulders and put so much pressure on myself. And I take full responsibility for that. I used to blame everyone for that and play the victim. But that's my responsibility. That came from whatever past life or whatever aspect of my childhood, and I brought it into my life. And what I want to do now is to use my gift of precision and elegant design, sophisticated design, to teach other women architects and empower them to also birth the new earth architecture. So I'm just, for those of you who are listening to the audio, I'm just moving through some of the sketches that I've designed, created buildings, community spaces, temples. This one is called Eagle, or no, Hawk. It could also be Eagle. It's the Hawk building. Very much came through connecting with the spirit of Hawk. This is a project that I worked on with a client in Canada for a new home sanctuary and the redesign of their farm property. I'm just going to keep moving through. Maybe we'll do a part two because this may get a little bit long, but this is a site plan here that shows the landscape design around the central power place. The power place was located quite near the existing barn, which we turned into a healing center. And the new home is organic and beautiful and has an interior living room space based on the golden proportions. There's an existing land altar, which she consistently uses, that we celebrated in the design. An idea to turn a small garage space into a local market. There's a medicinal garden. I mean, this project is just, it's next level. It's beautiful. And she's laying the groundworks for building sovereign community on her land. This is the image of the exterior of her home design, and we envision the building to be built out of hempcrete. And it's so soft, it's so welcoming, and the way that the roofs are formed communicate to our souls, aha, something different is happening here. Something different is happening over there. Oh, and this is happening here. But they're all growing. One is growing into the other and flowing into the other. There's terraced gardens here. We have a vision of a flow form and of water elements, and just a beautiful way of working with the topography on the land. This is an image of the interior. We're playing with some colors here. I have to honestly say I still want to work on that a little bit more and use a little bit more fresh materials here. But all in all, this is an incredible double height living and kitchen space with a mezzanine at the top and stunning views overlooking the river, which was very much part of the design process, the spirit of water, the spirit of that river coursing through the land. It's just incredible how much energetic healing that was required on the land for this design to be birthed. This is me in my home, which is still under construction. Our next phase will be beginning soon. And this is an image that you may have seen on my Instagram. And the central stair has such an amazing story. And in one of my earlier podcasts, I shared the story of the design of this stair. And this central element is out of Tadalact, and we've got golden proportions with this guard, and I handcrafted the sculptural element in my home, and I've been working with wood and metal and this balance of curving forms to bring life to a dead concrete box. Yes, we moved into an existing structure and now I'm bringing life to it. And this is the heart of our home. there's going to be a mosaic on the this central floor at the base of the stair here, and so many more details that I want to work with tiles and everything. But we're so grateful, and this central altar in the stick at the heart of our home really brings so much healing and so much grounding. And the walls are so soft to touch when they're all this natural sandy toned color. They're all out of Tadalact. Yeah, so straw bale construction, organic architecture. Okay, I'm just moving through some of these. These are amazing houses that I built many moons ago in Turkey. And it's just amazing to see how much they have grown with the land, and how the land has grown, the plants and the trees have grown around them, and people are so much enjoy living in these spaces. This is a stone house as part of the property. So you can see this house isn't very organic and in terms of the forms, but it really does breathe with so much beauty. This is a stone house here on the outside. Yeah, so I'm just going to keep going. You can also check out my portfolio on my website. You'll see some of these projects. And I think that's enough for today. And I'm just excited to be taking the Sacred Blueprint to the next level with all of you, and sharing more about what's possible for the new Earth architecture. Just going to switch my screens here. Ah, women, what incredibly exciting times we are in. What incredibly exciting times we are in. Today was great. Let me know what you think about the work. And if you are interested in learning the tools, in learning all you need to know about spiritual energetic property design, about mastering this high art, I am leading this 12-month certification program for women architects, landscape architects, and interior architects beginning June 2026. We're going to begin around the solstice, and I'm so excited. And I recently made a announcement that we are moving the VIP retreat into that container as part of the celebration, as part of the sacred initiatory ceremony for the graduates of the Sacred Blueprint certification program. I'm so excited. I'm still leading one-on-one retreats in Ephesus. So if you're interested in your very own VIP retreat in Ephesus, get in touch with me. It's so powerful, the energies there, and you'll learn so much about the sacred architecture, and you'll learn so much about yourself. You'll learn so much about what it means to really co-create with the divine feminine there. It's safe in Turkey right now. It's very peaceful where we are. There's no travel warnings for Turkey, so it's all fine. And for those of you who are really fed up with the grind and stress of conventional architecture and are depleted, are drained both mentally, physically, spiritually, and you're just tired of maintaining these two personas, architect by day, energy healer by night, you know? Architect by day, astrologer by night, architect by day, Reiki master by night. It's time to bring all your parts, all aspects of yourself into one, and boldly speak your truth. Boldly speak your truth. Huh, my aunt is calling right now. So I think that's a sign that I wrap up today's podcast. Oh, I love serving you all. All the details for the certification program are in the captions below, the description below. Applications are required, so you'll get the, once you sign up for the details, you will also get an application link. Take the time to carefully read the application. This is a sacred container, and don't rush through filling out this application. I'm calling the women from all parts of the globe to emerge, to arise from the abyss, to rise from eons and eons of hiding. It's time for you to bring your own intuitive gifts to the world of architecture and start to bring these keys that you've been holding for so long, keeping safe for so long, and weave them into your architecture practice. I cannot wait for what we will birth together. All right. Mwah. Bye-bye. Thank you for tuning into the New Earth Architectress. It's my intention to inspire more women architects and designers to come out of hiding and unleash their intuitive powers, to lead a prospering design practice aligned with spirit and their divine calling, while making a powerful impact on Earth. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review on iTunes, and share this episode with women who you know are feeling the nudges to take the big leap and bridge spirit with design. You can find out more about me and the New Earth Architectress movement by visiting aisharosemelodyhassan.com. Until next time, gule gule.